Well, we just finished Exodus. So where do we go from here?
Numbers?
Not today. Not starting a new book today. So if we're not starting a new book today, what is it likely that Pastor Wood is going to do? Proverbs, exactly, because there's one chapter for every day of the month. And it is a great thing to just keep reading through Proverbs over and over and over and over. This being the seventh of the month, we're looking at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. And we'll be looking at some other scripture too. Proverbs chapter 7. This is God's word. My son, keep my words and store up my commands within you. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your kinsman. They will keep you from the adulteress, from the wayward wife with her seductive words. At the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice. I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. He was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house at twilight, as the day was fading, as the dark of night set in. Then out came a woman to meet him, dressed like a prostitute, with crafty intent. She is loud and defiant. Her feet never stay at home. Now in the street, now in the squares, at every corner she lurks. She took hold of him and kissed him. And with a brazen face, she said, I have fellowship offerings at home. Today I fulfilled my vows. So I came out to meet you. I looked for you and have found you. I have covered my bed with colored linens from Egypt. I've perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let's drink deep of love till morning. Let's enjoy ourselves with love. My husband is not at home. He's gone on a long journey. He took his purse filled with money and will not be home till full moon. With persuasive words, she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once, he followed her. Like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose, till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. Now then, my sons, listen to me. Pay attention to what I say. Do not let your heart turn to her ways or stray into her paths. Many are the victims she has brought down. Her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. May God add His blessing to this reading from His holy and inspired word. Well, Pastor, that's a really happy thing. I just feel so much better now to go face the day. We got a picture of a young man who's seduced and destroyed. Thank you. Well, why is Solomon writing this way? What's the point? Well, he's warning his son against the danger of sexual immorality. If he was talking to his daughter, do you suppose that the warning would be against dangerous women? Or if he was talking with his daughter, would he be talking about bad guys? Obviously, this is not saying that women are the cause of all sexual immorality. He's talking to his son. And therefore, gentlemen, you need to be on guard against what you find tempting in the area of sexual conduct. You need to be on guard. But ladies, you need to be on guard as well. Let me give you the takeaway that I want you to write down, memorize, and the whole thing today is built around this. Okay? And as soon as I start giving it to you, you're saying, I know that. Write it down and remember it. Okay? Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Okay, now just in case you didn't get that, which you are already supposed to have memorized, sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. This morning's headline news, as if we all need to know this, is that Miley Cyrus has announced that she hasn't just had relations with guys. Well, thanks, Miley. TMI. We really didn't need to know that. As if you'd left any doubt through your musical performances about your sexual perversion. Sadly, we have a whole entertainment business, from sitcoms to news shows, that are aggressively, at great expense, working hard to educate the American public that basically anything you feel like doing is good. Okay? Whatever turns you on, whatever feels good, whatever appeals to you, you just go for it. Be true to yourself. Her house is a highway to the grave, leading down to the chambers of death. Okay? That road, that broad road that most people travel on, is a road to death. To death. To death. Please understand that the warning here is not, you know, you may find that your life would be even happier if you would do what God says. If you don't, you could miss out. Your life may not be as fulfilled, and in the end, you may not be as happy. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, if you pursue a life of sin, you will be destroyed by it. Destroyed. Wrecked. Picture the most hideous outcome, and it's worse than that. We're talking hell here. Okay? Not just missing out on the abundant life. Not the best plan. If a person is sitting with a loaded pistol to their head and I say, man, I'm not sure that's a good idea. You know, you could really hurt yourself if you pull that trigger. Is that being kind? Well, you know, I don't want to tell you what to do. I'm not your dad. But, you know, I mean, loaded gun, pointed at the head. I wouldn't want to do that. No! It's deadly destruction. It's horrible. That's what sin does. It destroys. Now, there are a lot of folks these days who are trying to tell us that it's not so bad. You know, people used to feel this way, that, you know, sex is just for a man and a woman, and they're supposed to be married to each other. But, you know, I mean, come on. Times change. Preachers saying times change. Times do change. God doesn't. Right and wrong doesn't. Truth doesn't. And the wages of sin is still death. Please understand that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 9. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And that is what some of you were. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food for the stomach and the stomach for food. But God will destroy them both. The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Let's memorize that too, shall we? The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Why don't we say that together? The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. Your body's not a bad thing. Okay? God didn't make Adam and Eve and then say, golly, I probably shouldn't have included those parts. He designed those parts. Our bodies are good. They're a glorious design. God made you male or female. That's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. And some of you may sometimes struggle with feelings of kind of wishing maybe you were the other way. Like Mr. Bruce Jenner, the famous former Olympic athlete. Let me tell you, if you have those thoughts, you need to know where they come from. They come from your enemy, whose goal is to steal, kill, and destroy. And so if you look at your body and you think, this isn't really what I wanted. You need to discover that God did a great job when He made you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, and our parts are good. It's good stuff. But it has a purpose. And that purpose is the glory of God. And so our goal is supposed to be about pleasing Him, not just trying to gain a little pleasure for ourselves. But God designed you, male or female, in order to bring glory to Him. And you need to focus on pleasing Him. So, He says, the body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. By His power, God raised the Lord from the dead, and He will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ Himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. But he who unites himself with the Lord is one with Him in spirit. Flee from sexual immorality. That means run away from it. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body. But he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Did you hear that? Not all sin is the same.
Oh, well, Pastor, I think one thing we need to remember is that all sin is the same.
No, it's not. No, it's not. If I steal your bicycle, that's a sin. But it's not the same as if I shoot you and kill you. Okay?
Well, okay, all sin is the same.
Not those two. Okay? And if I hate somebody, I'm guilty of murder, but they would rather have me hate them than kill them. So all sin is not the same, and God says to us in His Word, flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Sexual sin is unique among sins. It's not the only thing, but it is unique. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's the goal. to honor God, to please Him, to find His purpose, and do His will. And we find that in Scripture. But we live in a culture that wants to take sex and make it just a matter of behavior and say, do what pleases you. It's the same serpent that talked to Eve in the garden. I like this watch. I bought it a number of years ago when my old one quit working. Tried to have it rehabilitated, the old one, and it was not worth saving. So I got this one. It's a Seiko. Not outrageously expensive, though not cheap either. Keeps very good time. Has some gold plating. It's not a solid gold watch by any stretch. But I got it because I like the fact that it has an alarm on it. And so I can set the alarm, and literally when I'm traveling, if the power goes out or whatever else, this thing will still wake me up. Now, of course, my cell phone does too. But I got this back before I was carrying a cell phone everywhere. I like this watch. In fact, I like it so much that I'm thinking of using it for some other stuff. For instance, sometimes my wife wants to rearrange the pictures on the wall. This thing is great for driving nails. You think? What? No? You don't think so? You don't think I would take this watch and use it to pound nails? Well, why? Are you criticizing my watch? Are you saying my watch isn't good? Or are you saying that my watch was designed for a purpose and that if I use it as if it were a hammer, I'm going to mess it up? Does that make sense? Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. You use it for another purpose, you're going to mess it up. It's not because sex isn't good, it's because it's so good that we don't want to use it as if it's a hammer. You understand that? The illustration I sometimes use is the fact that I love my wife so much and I love so many things about her, but one of the things I really love about her is her eyes. I love her eyes. Man, I could just look into those eyes and drink deeply of love. It's a beautiful thing. Her eyes are blue with gold flecks around the pupils in the iris. And that combination of blue and gold makes overall for kind of a green effect. But it's not just your classic green eye. It's blue and gold. Beautifully designed. I mean, and I just look into her eyes and I find them so expressive. In fact, her eyes can be so expressive, I had to ask her not to come to church conference years ago. First, I asked her not to speak in church conference because sometimes she got upset with people and said things that were not helpful. So I said, you can come to church conference, but just don't say anything, okay? So she came to church conference and she didn't say anything, but yes, she did, because her eyes and her facial expressions and her sighs still communicate. So I told her she just couldn't come to church conference anymore. One of us was enough. I love my wife's eyes. As a matter of fact, when I go out of town, I like to take one of her eyes with me. I just pack it in my shaving kit, and when I get to the hotel at night, I take it out and I put it on the bed stand beside. What? You look appalled. Some of you are making faces like I just said something gross. If I were to come home from a trip and find one of my wife's eyes lying on the stair or there on the window seat when I come in the door, would I go, oh, wow, it's one of Susan's eyes. This is great. I love her eyes. Is that what I'd do? No, I'd be horrified. You'd hear me scream all over the valley. It would be a dreadful thing, even though her eye is a beautiful thing, if it's taken out of its proper setting, suddenly it is not beautiful, it's grotesque. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. If you take sex out of its proper setting, it's not a beautiful thing anymore. One of the movie services that's out there says the fastest selling movie they've ever had with an R rating is 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Grey is a movie I haven't seen. It's based on a book that I haven't read. So, I really can't comment on it because, yes I can. Because the people who promoted the book and the people who promoted the movie made it very clear what it's about. And I haven't just read a review or two, I've read a number of them. Because I want to try and understand exactly what is being popularized in our culture. And let me tell you what's being popularized. Many people think it's wonderful, and 50 Shades of Grey isn't the only piece of garbage out there that's promoting this view. Basically, it's suggesting there's something really exciting about sexual abuse. I mean, it's really kind of right now. At this point, we're just talking sexual abuse between adults. But taking sex and combining it with pain and suffering just intensifies the experience. You kind of like you can get a thrill playing Russian roulette. That's crazy. That's sick. That's evil. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Let me zero in on one of those phrases that we don't always zero in on. We talk about the fact that it's between a man and a woman. Homosexual behavior is not okay. We talk about the fact that it's between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Premarital sex, not okay. Extramarital sex, not okay. But let me tell you one more thing that needs to be clear in our culture and better be clear to you. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind and not selfish. And people who abuse other people are not demonstrating love or experiencing love. Sexual abuse is never okay. And some of you are going to go out into situations where people are going to want to do things to you and do things with you. And they're going to tell you, if you love me, you'll let me do this. And you need to tell them they're on the road to hell and you don't want to see them again. Oh, but he's so cute. So is the copperhead that tries to live under the deck at my house. And you know what I do when he pokes his little head out? I kill him just like his brother. You understand?
Well, if I think snakes are beautiful, I just...
Well, fine. I had some snakeskin boots once. They were beautiful. You understand? Sin leads to death. And God designed sex to be an expression of love. Between a man and a woman who are married to each other.
Well, we're going to get married.
Well, good. You'll have a wonderful time afterwards.
Well, but do we have to wait until we're married?
Why not?
Well, we just love each other so much.
If you love each other so much, then prove to each other that you are a trustworthy person. Because during the time prior to marriage, you are teaching the person you're going to marry whether or not you're a trustworthy individual. And if what you teach them is, I violate God's law based on my appetites. I do what I want to do even when I know it's not right. If that's what you're teaching your mate, you are not building a foundation of trust and your marriage is going to be in trouble because you're never going to have another opportunity like you do before you're married to demonstrate that you're trustworthy. So while you're single, pursue God. Pursue holiness. And let the person who marries you know that pleasing Jesus matters more to you than pleasing them. And if they are not happy with that, don't marry them. You'll be sorry you did. Heard a testimony from a guy and his wife who, when they gave the testimony, were already divorced and had been for years. She was not taking him back because he had already gone off and married the woman that he cheated with when he cheated on his wife. In other words, they were a married couple going to church looking respectable. But the husband met another woman who was like the woman in Proverbs chapter 7. And she used smooth talk. I mean, if you go back and look at Proverbs 7, we didn't go through all the verses in detail, but please notice, she got him with her words. Yeah, she was dressed like a prostitute, and of course we've got that all over our country. All kinds of people who just want to look like a hooker, but don't say anything disrespectful about me. We've got that all over our country. Okay? I mean, disgusting. We're training little kids to try and look like strippers. It's sick. But this guy fell for another woman, cheated on his wife, married the other gal, and then found out, shock of all shocks, that she, the new wife, was not faithful to him. If she'll cheat with you, she'll cheat on you. If he'll cheat with you, he'll cheat on you. Don't think that you are the one great love. Oh, now I've met my soulmate. Okay? Before I was trapped in a stale, loveless marriage, but now I've met my soulmate. No, you haven't. You've met somebody with pheromones you like. What are pheromones? Don't worry about it. They're real. But guess what? You don't have to be governed by your gonads. You don't have to be controlled by your anatomy. You can be controlled by the Spirit of God. And you can say no to temptation. Adultery, fornication, and a whole host of other sins all lead to the same place. Death and destruction. God says in His Word, if you're a Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So honor Him. So, Pastor Wood, I've already messed up. Well, I have good news for you. Jesus came to save sinners. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You can be transformed. But you cannot continue in sin and think that you're going to heaven. I talked with a man yesterday, recording for our radio broadcast. A man who really struggled with gender identity, who wanted to be female. And he went to a doctor and he was surgically and chemically altered. And he lived for, I think it was 8 years as a woman. But he wasn't a woman. He was a man who the doctors had encouraged to believe they could make a woman. Like Bruce Jenner saying, I am a woman. Well, if I stand up here this morning and tell you with great conviction, I am broccoli. That's why my hair does this. If you were to see it in its natural state when I get out of the shower, I'm really broccoli. That's what I am. And so I want to be recognized as broccoli, treated as broccoli. Don't eat me. I want to have my skin turned green. I'm going to start moussing my hair so that it stays poking out all day. And I want you from now on, instead of calling me Pastor Wood, to call me Pastor Broccoli. You wouldn't say, oh gosh, I didn't know a person could turn into broccoli. You'd say, Pastor Wood has lost his mind. Well, let me tell you something. You are either male or female. And the guy I interviewed on my radio show yesterday has come to faith in Christ and his life has been changed and he's been living straight for years. Because God is able to heal and transform. No matter how messed up your past is, God has the power to change you. But you need to understand it's God who does it. He's got a plan for you. He made you with a purpose. Your body's a good thing, not a bad thing. You don't have to hide from it. The reason that we dress as we do is modesty, not shame. But please understand this. The wages of sin hadn't changed. Still death. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your glorious gift. We thank you that you not only made us well, but that you have offered us eternal life in Christ Jesus. I pray that you would help us to believe and obey. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.